there. Amen. And that's so true, and praise the Lord for that. And I'm just shocked to be here. I'm shocked to be here. I honestly thought the Lord was going to come back in 2016. And really, I really thought that. And who would have thought 2017, when everybody was just such up in arms, you know, during 2000 and all of the Y2K and all the things that were happening, people stocking up and for, you know, all different types of catastrophes and things of that nature. But I'm shocked, but, you know, we're here. Amen. And the Lord's got a plan. God's got a reason for what he does. And sometimes, you know, we may not always understand, but we just need to obey. Trust and obey. Amen. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. I love hearing Brother O sing. Amen. And I'm going to take him on the road with me. We're going to be Ira Sankey and D.L. Moody. Amen. And we're going to go around. And, of course, you know, I've seen a meet, so I'll have to raise up my support. Anyways, I just can't afford him. Amen. I can't afford him. He's too high in demand. And but I appreciate all the songs that he chooses. I know he prays about it and everything. And that song blessed my heart. Amen. And what a blessing it is. To be in God's house on a Sunday morning, the first day of the year. And you know, the pastor talked about the heart. That's where it starts. Amen. A fresh start for the heart. Amen. Fresh start. And we've got to have a fresh start. Amen. And it starts with the heart. And what a blessing it is. And I appreciate Brother Clear for allowing me to do this. And we've been doing it now for quite a while. And his emphasis, and he's a man of revival. His favorite evangelist is Billy Sunday, and he was a preacher of revival. Amen. And we need revival in our country and in our churches and in our homes, in our ministries, and we need to pray that God will do something and wake us up. The church has been lulled to sleep by merchandise, money, materialism. And the mechanics of this world has lulled the church to sleep. And so last year, I preached in 42 churches, 25 revivals, 3 youth conferences, 2 camps, and several special Sundays. As a result, the Lord allowed us to see 355 people saved and other scores of decisions made and people surrendering to the ministry and all of that. And who would have thought? And a young 15-year-old boy, when I first started coming to this church, 15. Some of you were here back then. This year I'll be 59. So how does that make you feel? Amen. But anyways, it's a miracle of God. Isn't that something? And a miracle of the Lord. And that's what we need to see more of. Our young people raised up in this ministry, surrendering to God and going out and serving the Lord. Amen. Now, you may not, you know, necessarily be called a preacher or a missionary, but every one of us served the Lord. Amen. That's what I tell my kids, all my kids in church today, and my wife, thank God for it. But they may not be a preacher, they may not be a missionary, they may not be in full time, but serve the Lord. That's number one. Amen. Serve the Lord. And I'm excited, and I thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here, and praise God for it. But I'm going to read a few verses out of the book of Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to begin reading here in this passage of Scripture. The Bible tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Every word, every verse of Scripture in the Bible, and God preserved it in the King James Bible. Amen. The King James Bible, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And so that's the power of God. Amen. That's God's power. And to preserve his inspired word in the King James Bible. Praise the Lord for that. I'm glad that my church still preaches out and believes the King James Bible. So many churches today have gotten away from the old King James Bible. And oh, listen, back when I first got my heart right with God, back in 1982, my dad took me up to a meeting in St. Paul, Temple Baptist Church, and Richard Englund was the pastor at the time. He used to have a bunch of preachers come in, and Lester Roloff. How many ever heard Lester Roloff preach? Lester Roloff, what a preacher. Amen. A man of faith. And he preached a message, entire message. It's when they first came out, and Brother Clear would go up to those meetings, and we'd all go up to those meetings, and he'd come out, the first come out, with the Reader's Digest condensed version of the Bible. And he had the advertisement. He held it up there, and he preached on the King James Bible. I'll never forget it. Amen. And praise the Lord for that. But I appreciate the church, pastor, staff, and folks that still preach out of the, believe the King James Bible and inspired by God. And here in Matthew chapter 14, and notice what the Bible declares in verse 22. And straightway, oh, that means right now, who's with me? Amen. Right now, without hesitation, without delay. Amen. And listen, too many people, we hesitate. We hesitate about some things. But straightway, Jesus. Now notice the Bible, this is the King James Bible now. Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship to go before him to the other side while he sent a multitude away. And when he had sent a multitude away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. Now, I know there's a lot of people that like to give me a hard time about my titles and how they rhyme and things of that nature, but I get it from the Bible. Amen. Jesus went away to pray. Who's with me? Amen. There it is, right in the Word of God. But that's not my message, but I just thought I'd bring that out. And some people think I'm the Dr. Seuss of fundamentalism. But anyways, you know, I preach a lot to teenagers, and it helps. I mean, the world uses that type of technique. Who's with me? And to remember things, catchy phrases, all of that. But the Bible says here that he went up in a mountain apart to pray, and that evening was come, and he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Get into this ship. I want you in this ship. I want you to go to the other side. I got this work. I got this job for you to do. And as they set out, they run into a storm. Who's with me? We all go through storms, difficulties, and we had some storms in 2016. We'll have some storms in 2017. Amen. And so this was appointed by God. And he put them in there, and then they went, and they hit this in a storm. And the Bible says there, as they were there in that storm on the fourth watch, verse 25 of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. And the people today, troubled about things, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Amen. Who's with me this morning? Say amen. I mean, there it is right there in the Bible, in the Word of God. And it says they were troubled. And fear is what Satan likes to use to hinder God's people from stepping out by faith. And it's fear keeps people from getting right with God. Amen. And people are afraid to get right with God for one reason or another. But straightway. Now notice, there it is again, that same word in the Bible, straightway. And so immediately the Bible says, Jesus, and right now, without hesitation, spake unto them. He didn't let them linger in their troubles. Who with me? He didn't let them linger in their fears. I mean, right now, Jesus, the Bible says there, Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer." Amen. Now, if you have made a toast, and then people say cheers. Now, if you made toast, you better have had jam or jelly on it last night. Amen. But be of good cheer, right in the midst of the storm. Isn't that what he said? We all have setbacks. We all have disappointments. We all have fears and things of such like, but God says, be of good cheer. be of good cheer. Hey, listen, don't let anything rob you of your joy. Don't let anything steal away your joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That's what sustains us. Yes, we'll have trouble. Yes, we'll have fear. Yes, we'll have difficulty. But don't let that happen. Don't let it happen in your life. These things that Satan wants to use to keep us down and discouraged. But he said, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. We can be of good cheer. God's presence. Amen. Never leave us, never forsake us. But he gives us that. He gives us that assurance in the Word of God. We read through these passages of Scripture. I want you to notice some things here in this passage. First of all, I want you to notice the admonition. What was the admonition of the Lord concerning their life and the task and the job and the thing that they wanted to accomplish, that God wanted them to accomplish? And God admonishes each and every one of us, amen, who claim to know Jesus Christ as Savior. He gives you an admonition, command, mandate. He's admonishing. And here was to get in a ship, application, you and I, to get involved, amen. God admonishes every single Christian to get involved in the work of the Lord. God didn't call us to be spectators. He wants us to be participants. He wants us to be involved. Get into that ship. Too many Christian people today are sitting on the sidelines. Sitting on the sidelines, licking your wounds, full of worry, despair, defeat. Oh, God wants us to get in, to get involved, to be a participant, to get into that ship of salvation. If you're not in the ship of salvation, you better get in that ship of salvation this morning. Even as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And we're living in those days. And Noah admonished all of those people way back yonder to get into that ark. If you don't get into the ark, if you don't get into the ship, you're going to die. You're going to drown. You're going to die. You're going to face destruction. Get into that ship of salvation. No better time to be saved than right now. Amen. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, oh, listen, get into that ship of salvation. That's the admonition from the Lord. That is God admonishing them straightway. Right now, without hesitation, constraining them to do what God had commanded them to do for their life. Get in the ship! Amen. Are you in the ship of salvation? There's a lot of people who claim to be saved. There's a lot of people. Did we not do many marvelous works? Did we not cast out demons? Jesus said, depart from me, for I never knew you. Are you sure you're saved? Are you 100% sure that if you die right now, you go to heaven? Oh, there's a lot of people that profess. But oh, listen, do they really possess true biblical Christianity? You get saved, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. And it's not a certain spirit for Brother Clear, or a certain spirit for me, or a certain spirit for Brother O. It's the same spirit for everybody. Then why is there so much division? Who's with me? Why is there so much division? If we all have the same spirit. Oh, perhaps maybe not everybody's got the Spirit of God. You need to examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove to your own selves. Amen. Oh, the Bible tells us he constrained them. Get into the ship. That's the admonition. And to serve the Lord. Are you serving Jesus today? Amen. No man can serve two masters, hate the one, love the other. He'll uplift the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The admonition admonishes us and commands us to get involved in this work of God. Too many people today on the sideline, not serving the Lord. I remember when we started coming to this church and my mom and dad got saved, and I'm telling you what, they started serving the Lord. And they got on a bus route, and we'd go on a bus route. We'd come to the bus meet 9 o'clock in the morning. And we wouldn't get home on Saturday sometimes at 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening. Then we had to get real early, go pick the kids up, bring them to church, and then take them home. We wouldn't get home that afternoon sometimes till 4 or 5 o'clock. And we didn't have time to watch a football game. We didn't have time for a hot meal. We didn't have time to take a nap. We had enough time to freshen up, maybe get a quick bite, get back into church Sunday night. Then back into church Wednesday. Then out on soul winning on Thursday. Then my brother and I at the youth activity on Friday. Then back out on the bus right on Saturday. People don't serve the Lord like that anymore. People don't serve the Lord like we used to serve the Lord. We're not into that ship of service like we ought to be. Oh, I remember when I got right with God. March 14, 1982. I walked down that old-fashioned aisle, got an old-fashioned altar, gave my life to Jesus. I started serving the Lord at a Sunday school, at a bus route. I worked with the youth. I sang in the choir. Yes, I sang in the choir. I did it all, neighbor. Amen. I'd wear my suit. I'd wear a three-piece suit Saturday morning to the bus meeting, hoping that Ron Williams, the bus director, would ask me to preach. I want to serve the Lord. Amen. Admonition to serve the Lord. Get in the ship. Get in that ship of service. Get in the ship of salvation. Get in the ship of surrender. What's the message? The message here is 2017, you need to get on board with the Lord. Amen. You need to get on board with the Lord. There's a lot of people in church, but they're not on board. They're not on the same page. They're not with the pastor. They're not with the work. And there's a lot of variables to that. There's a lot of variables. And, you know, Independent Fundamental Baptist has a lot of flavors. Who's with me? A lot of flavors. A lot of variables to that. And though the importance of getting on board with the Lord. When you're on board with the Lord, amen, you're not going to be contentious towards the things that the pastor and the staff and the people want to accomplish here in this ministry. If you're on board, amen, with the Lord. And that's the admonition. But, you know, not just an admonition, we see an apprehension. I mean, they were hesitant. They were a little apprehensive about it. Just like a lot of Christians today, who's with me? Just like a lot of apprehensive, and they let the devil get in there. And there's so many distractions, so many time distractions out there. And as I was talking to Brother Clear earlier, we're so connected, we're disconnected. And you go out and eat, and you go to a restaurant, and oh, thank God, look at these families. They're out together, but they're all on their cell phones. They're all there. They're all there, but they're not there. Just like people come to church. Who's with me? Now, you don't have your cell phones out, but, I mean, listen, disconnected. Not on board with the Lord. Apprehensive about something. Something is holding you back. Something's holding you back. Oh, listen, we don't want to hold back when it comes to the work of God and the will of God. That was God's will to get in that ship. That was God's plan. That was God's purpose. If you want happiness, if you want contentment, if you want joy, get into that ship. Amen. And I'll guide you. I'll lead you. I'll direct you. He had to constrain them. You know what that means, that word constrain? Force. He forced them. Now, whether it was a verbal force or whether it was a physical force, maybe he had to grab them on around the robe, whatever they wore, and say, listen, fellas, don't you hear what I'm saying? Aren't you with me in this situation? I'm telling you to get into this ship, and we got to get to the other side, and you're just sitting around, and you're distracted, you're apprehensive, you're not being obedient. Get in the ship. Amen. You ever think the Lord raised his voice at his disciples? Huh? Well, it says he constrained them. It constrained them, which indicates to you and I the seriousness of this situation. Who's with me? God's people don't take the things of God serious. They don't take life serious. They don't take it serious. How short a time we have. Time's running out. Things are happening. We better start taking this thing, this work of God, these things that Brother Clear wants to accomplish, and the church, and to go forward. We better get serious. Stop holding back. God will constrain us through different things. Peril, problems, all of that. Many times it's through the preaching of God's word. Amen. The preaching of God's word ought to be the primary thing to motivate you to serve the Lord. I love preaching. I love preaching, and I love getting preached at. I just love preaching. I'll drive down the road. I'll hook up my phone. I'll go to the old archives of this site where you can hear the old sermons by Brother Howes and all those old-timers. Man, I'll drive down the road. I'm shouting amen, people looking at me like I'm a Kentucky Fried moron. I love preaching. Amen. Why? It constrains me. Motivates me. To serve the Lord. To do the will of God. Oh, listen, neighbor. They were apprehensive. I'll illustrate it this way. When my dad got saved, my mom got saved, they started working a bus route. And so they wanted, you know, to get the whole family involved. Saturday morning, he comes into my room, kicks open the door. Of course, you know my dad. He lives in that gray area of old school and caveman. He comes up, pow, and kicks me out of bed, boom. And I thought I was in trouble. I said, Dad, what happened? He said, son, God has just called you into the bus ministry. And my brother Jeff, he had the covers on. Yeah, Jeff, I'm talking to you. He's watching on live stream. And he was wondering, hey, what about Jeff? Don't worry about your brother. God's fixing to call him in a little bit. Constrain. Oh, I'd never force my kid to work on a bus route. You ought to. I'd never force my kid to go to church. You ought to. We wouldn't be in the situation that we're in today if some moms and dads constrain their young people. Amen. To serve the Lord. Oh, that's the way it used to be around here all the time. Brother Clear's carrying it on, and he gets up constrained, and he's trying to motivate. He's trying to get people to say, why are we so apprehensive? Why are you holding back? Boy, the church got rolling, Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2. The church got rolling. There are 3,000 saved, 5,000 saved. Man, we're going. All of a sudden, pow, what happened? Two people died. Why'd they die? They held back. Who's with me? Say amen. They held back. Oh, listen, you're going to hold back? You're going to hold back in 2017? You're going to hold back on your service? You're going to hold back on your giving? You're going to hold back on your time? You're going to hold back? Why don't you sell out to God? Get into that ship. Start doing what God wants you to do with your life. We'll see great and mighty things. Well, they were apprehensive for one reason or another. It could have been the crowd. You know, the Bible said he sent the multitude away. How many times we let people influence us in the wrong way? Who's with me? How many times we let people influence us the wrong way? Oh, Liz, I read it this morning in my devotions in Proverbs chapter 1. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Amen. Don't let people influence you in a negative way. I mean, it got so bad, they were telling them, hey, fellas, stay here, stay here. Man, you just fed us. They just had the feeding of 5,000. I mean, listen, you got the gift. You got the power. You don't need to leave. You need to stay. It got so bad, Jesus sent the multitude away. Amen. Sometimes God's got to do that. Don't get all up in arms when people leave the church. It may be God sending a multitude away. Amen. I say amen right there, even if it kills you. But this is the Bible. This is the Word of God. That's the way it works. Get on board with the Lord. Get on board with the Lord. Get on the same page. What the Scripture teaches. It was those people. Those people influenced Aaron, the second in command, Moses' right-hand man, and influenced him to build an idol. An idol. Aaron built an idol. Okay, I'll build an idol. Who's with me? Then he told Moses, yeah, you know, this idol, these people were going crazy and everything. And his idol just kind of popped up out of the point, just kind of popped up. Who's with me? What person is influencing you? Who's influencing you today? He sent a multitude away because they had a bad influence in their life. Maybe it was the cloud. Maybe it was the storm. Sometimes, you know, people get upset at God when they had to go through a storm. Are you with me? Why do you let this happen? Why do you let these things linger? Why, Lord? Why this? Why that? Well, you know why the Lord was so adamant and so aggressive and so forceful in getting those fellas in that ship? Because there was a storm coming. Perhaps if they would have obeyed immediately, they would have missed that storm. Who's with me? Huh? But no, they sat there and said, Lord, look at the storm. Are you crazy? You want us to get in the ship? Look at those clouds out there. Look at those storms. Listen, fellas, you wouldn't even hit that storm if you'd have known what I told you to begin with. It's like Paul told the centurion, told the captain, don't lose from Crete. Don't lose from Crete. It's not time to go. Don't do it. We lose now, we're going to hit a storm. They didn't listen. And what happened? They suffered harm and loss. How many times Christians suffer harm and loss? Because they don't listen. Amen. 2016 ought to be different for the child of God. 2016 ought to say, yes, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to get in the ship. I'm going to get saved. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to surrender to do whatever God wants me to do. I'm not going to be apprehensive. I'm not going to let anything hinder me. I'm not going to let the cloud. I'm not going to let the crowd. I'm not going to let the controversy. Who's with me? The winds were contrary. You know, old-time, independent, fundamental Baptist Christianity, King James Bible, separated, soul-winning, aggressive ministries, sometimes cause some controversy. Amen. But you can't be afraid of controversy when you're doing right. I mean, the early church, they stood up with boldness. They stood up with boldness. And people got upset. They threw them in jail. I mean, there was a lot of contrary winds, and they were blowing. But you, just because the wind's blowing in your face, doesn't mean you stop serving God. My dad, I told you, he was in that gray area of old school and caveman. One disciplinary tool he used to use was make my brother and I, you remember this, Jeff? Get up early in the morning and have to run. And the funny thing is he'd run with us. Sometimes the wind would be blowing 30 miles an hour in our face. I'm ready to stop. He says, son, you can't stop just because the wind's blowing. Who's with me? Now, I've been preaching revival 2017 for 31 years. Who's with me? I've been preaching since 1982. I've been preaching revival 30, as Brother O stated in Sunday school, a lot of different churches. Some like it, some don't. Some give, some don't. Amen. But oh, listen, you can't stop just because the wind's blowing. Just because things get hard. Just because things get difficult. Just because there's some controversy involved. Amen. Who's with me? Oh, listen, you serve God. Young people in the youth group. Listen to me, young people in the youth group. You step out to serve God, and the thing that hinders you is the controversy. You don't want to be controversial. You don't want people in your face. You know, we got Billy Bible. But it doesn't matter. You serve God despite the controversy. Amen. And so they were apprehensive. And they had the admonition, but they were apprehensive. And then you see the affirmation. What's the affirmation? Be of good cheer. Amen. I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. You got a problem? You got an addiction problem? I'm right there with you. Amen. You got some type of situation going on with a person, you can't get the victory, I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. Amen. Be of good cheer. Don't let that situation get you down. Don't let people get you down. Don't let the controversy get you down. Don't let the clouds get you down. Oh, get on board with the Lord. He gives us an affirmation. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Peter thought he could walk on the water. Gets out. You know, Peter, he was the type of guy, kind of reminds me of me. Always having to learn things the hard way. The greatest school I ever attended was the school of hard knocks. Are you with me? And I don't know if it's a DNA thing. I just kind of inherited it that way. Learn the hard way. Amen. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes things get difficult. Who's with me? But oh, listen, there's Jesus right there. Peter gets out of the boat. The Lord finally said, okay, you want to learn. You know, when Kyle was about 3 years old, we lived in an RV trailer. I had my seat where I read the Bible, and he had come, you know, up there where I was sitting, and he was always wanting to grab my coffee cup. Grab it, try it. I said, no, it's hot. But he was always forever, you know, trying to grab it. I'd set it down. I'd read, here he comes. And I pulled back. No, I'm telling you, you're going to burn yourself. Don't touch the coffee. Well, you know, he just wouldn't listen. He's a Murphy DNA, I'm telling you. But anyways, I said, all right. I held it out there for him. He reached in there, touched the coffee, whoo, pulled his hand back. He never reached out for my coffee again. Who's with me? Learned the hard way. That's what God was telling Peter. You know, you hear these songs, you know, step out on the water. That wasn't God's will for him to step out on the water. Amen. God's will for him to stay in the ship and get to the other side. But thank God, God pulled him up immediately. That's the affirmation. We're in trouble. God's not going to just let you linger in it. He's going to help you right out of it. Amen. He's going to help you. Now, did he carry him and bring him to shore? No. Where did he take him? He took him back to the boat. Put him right where he's supposed to be. Who's with me right there? Say amen. That's the affirmation. That's God. He's going to be, even though we mess up, even though, I mean, I look at my own life, I got away from the Lord, then I got right with God, and I stepped out by faith. I said, Lord, I'm going to get in the ship, I'm going to start serving you, and now, several years later, here I am preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. 355 people get saved. Amen. And that's fruit that abounds to your account because of your support of our ministry. But I'm trying to tell you, God's people, 2017, better get on board with the Lord. You better get on board with the Lord. Stop being so apprehensive about things. Stop worrying about the crowd. Stop worrying about the clouds. Stop worrying about the controversy. Know that God is right there. He'll do whatever it takes to get us to the other side. Lord, thank you for your love. I pray you take the message. Help us to recognize the truth of it. I pray your people have a desire to get on board with the Lord. How many of you say with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, I needed that message. Lift your hand up, big and high, all over the building. Lift your hand up, big and high. You may put your hands down. And Brother Clear, he'll get the altar call. He's got some things going on. He'll get the altar call. But other things, don't get distracted. You're here this morning, you need to get saved. Sir? Yeah, sir, I'm talking to you. You need to get saved. Ma'am? I'm talking to you. The Lord's talking to you. You need to get saved. Young person, you need to get saved. You know, when I was in the youth group, we had young people getting saved all the time. Because they realized at a certain point in their life, yeah, I was raised in a Christian home, but I just never really got it nailed down. Never really got saved. Getting saved changed your life. Salvation changed your life. Amen. And when you kind of get sideways with the Lord as a child of God, he's got a principle, you know, that he talks about in Hebrews chapter number 12, the principle of chastisement. And he'll bring you back. He'll bring you back. And God brought me back. God brought me back. He'll bring you back. And he's affirmed it in the Word of God. Hey, why don't you get on board with the Lord? Whatever the decision, you make it this morning. Don't tarry. Don't delay. Don't hesitate like the disciples and end up in a big mess pile. Don't hesitate. You get on board with the Lord. Father, you've seen the hands. Bless the invitation. We'll give you the glory for it.
Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and Christians are praying. In just a moment, the instruments are going to begin playing. We're going to have an invitation. If God has spoken to your heart, if you are not sure that you are saved, why not start out the new year with a secured salvation? Come and trust Christ as Savior. If you're here this morning, God spoke to your heart. Great, great challenge for us for the new year. Get on board with the Lord. Let's all stand. The instruments are going to play. You step out and come here this morning.